This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on Union Cabinet decisions. The participants are Santosh Tiwari, Economic Analyst, and Gaurav Dhawan Lal, Anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. So two Cabinet decisions have taken place today, important ones. The first one, the Cabinet Committee on Economic Affairs, CCEA, chaired by the Prime Minister, has approved the infusion of equity of 10,700 crore rupees in Food Corporation of India by way of conversion of ways and means advance to equity in 2024-25. And the Union Cabinet, also chaired by Prime Minister, has approved the PM Vidya Lakshmi, which is designed to build on the scope and reach of initiatives taken over the last decade for maximizing access to quality higher education for youth in India. We are delighted to have with us Mr. Santosh Tiwari, Economic Analyst, to take the conversation forward on these decisions. Santosh, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Gaurav.
So let's begin, Santosh, with the stomach first, which is the Food Corporation of India decision, because I think on a full stomach, good education will follow, which is the other one. So this decision taken by the Prime Minister and the committee has, of course, far-reaching, I think, consequences in terms of the fact that, you know, we already have a food distribution program running. Food Corporation of India is under a lot of, I would say, it's in the spotlight because it's supposed to provide, it's supposed to store. It's playing a very, very important role in ensuring that equity in India, even for the marginalized, remains a primary focus for the government. How do you see this panning out?
This is an extremely important decision because if you look at the work that Food Corporation of India does for not only Indian farmers, Indian agriculture, but overall in terms of Indian economy, it's basically its work is to ensure food security. And how it does that? By procurement of food grains at minimum support price, which is a very important function in Indian agriculture. And then it has to also maintain strategic food grain stocks, and then help in distribution of food grains, you know, for welfare measures, and also stabilization of food grains prices in the market. So if you look at it in totality, what Food Corporation of India does, a strengthened Food Corporation of India is going to only help in doing what the government wants to do in terms of not only welfare of farmers and welfare of people, but also in terms of performing overall economic activities, which it wants to do. And especially providing food grains for the schemes which are running and which are helping the poor in a big way. So this equity infusion will help in strengthening the operational capabilities of Food Corporation of India, which was required. Because if the Food Corporation of India is going to market and taking loans, then the interest burden becomes very high. And with the help of this 10,700 crore rupees, the interest burden will come down, which ultimately is going to help government because it will have to give lower and lower subsidies. So overall, in totality, if you look at this decision, if the operational capabilities of Food Corporation of India gets enhanced, then obviously modernization of food storage, a modernization of procurement process, extension of the work that Food Corporation of India is doing, that will get emboldened and it will support government's food schemes. And then overall, in terms of financial capabilities, the institution will get strengthened, which in turn helps government also manage better the Food Corporation of India, which is extremely necessary.
Right. So when we think of the operational capabilities of FCI, what are some challenges that this organization faces and this infusion will help mitigate those?
So it has two important responsibilities, in fact, three. The first responsibility is to go for better procurement process, modernization of procurement process, which helps farmers and which helps Food Corporation of India to procure food in a manner which is based on efficient methods and models. That's one.
Right.
And they are employing modern ways to do that. Then comes the storage facility. Not only the storage facilities have to be enhanced, but they have to be made more modern so that there are less and less wastages of food grains. Second aspect is that they have to basically modernize their storage facilities and enhance their storage facility. And the third is the distribution of food grains for different schemes that the government is running. So if those mechanisms, you know, get strengthened and modernized, and if this equity infusion is helping Food Corporation of India to modernize and optimize their operations, then obviously this is going to help not only the government, but also farmers and the people who are getting those food grains.
Right. When we talk of, you know, the storage facility, Santosh, I think over the years, there's always been a lot of criticism that we have grains, but we're not storing them. We are losing a lot due to bad storage facilities. So you think we have made substantial improvement and strides in this direction to have better storage facilities?
So over a period of time, the situation has improved. If you ask me that if all the challenges have been addressed, no. And that's where, you know, Food Corporation of India needs money. Because this storage is some sort of a challenge where, you know, both the sides have to be taken into account. You cannot create a huge food storage facility or a facility, you know, which is not required. So you have to basically keep the storage facility and do it in a manner, create in a manner, you know, where you can use it optimally. Easier said than done.
Right.
So coming back to your question, Food Corporation of India and the government is trying its level best over the years to basically create a storage facility of Food Corporation of India at places and in the manner that we have optimal utilization of those food grain storage facilities. It's a work in progress still. But yes, this infusion is going to help Food Corporation of India in at least taking a few more steps, you know, in the forward direction.
Right. So Santosh, analysts are also saying that this strategic move shows the government's steadfast commitment to supporting farmers and fortifying India's agrarian economy. Now, when we look at the contribution of India's agrarian economy in terms of employment, yes, many more people are employed than the other services sector and the other manufacturing sectors that we see. But in terms of contribution to GDP, I think the amount is not equal or not in proportion. So what more support is required for our agrarian economy?
See, the challenge, the biggest challenge in Indian agrarian economy is with this, which is with government, which is with farmers also, and which is overall, you know, you have to understand that India still is predominantly, Indian agriculture is predominantly wheat and rice.
Right.
In states like Punjab, Haryana, UP, and other places, you know, where FCI works in a major way for procuring these food grains, and major procurements do happen in wheat and rice. There are other grains also which have come up. You know, there in those states, the diversification has not happened still. And despite the fact that, you know, water tables have gone down considerably and those states are not very suitable for wheat and rice. So coming back to your question after this backdrop, you know, the challenge is how to convince farmers or provide farmers the facilities and all the support that is needed to diversify from wheat and rice is something, you know, which is again, you know, it's like storage facility. It's a work in progress.
Right.
Different states, you know, and different areas of the country, they are now shifting to diversified crops, and diversified crops are giving them better yields, better results, etc. But the way it had to happen in previous few years, that has not happened. We are still predominantly, as I said earlier, wheat and rice economy. That has to change. We have to diversify our crops. For that, modernization of agriculture is extremely necessary. The biggest challenge is that corporate sector, the way it should have gone in agriculture, that has not happened. And that can be one big factor in improving contribution of agriculture in the overall Indian economic growth or GDP. The moment the modernization, technology upgradation, diversification, etc., corporates, companies, private sector starts taking part, the contribution of Indian agriculture will grow, and diversification of crop, which is an essential part of it, will also take place. So this is something, you know, which is a work in progress again. This is something which is happening, but not at a pace at which it should happen.
So do you think the gestation period for returns for the corporate sector is low in this sector, or is it not incentivized enough?
I think there are two, three factors. One is that the technology upgradation or the technology adoption. If you look at the developed countries, technology plays a much bigger role in agriculture than in our country. That has not happened. So unless until the technology adoption at the lowest level of agriculture that takes place in a big way, corporates would not get interested in investing. Because again, as you said, that the returns would be difficult to come. Then the second part is that which the government is trying to address for quite some time. In some parts, you know, it has been addressed also, wastages. So in India, at some point of time, you know, even 40 to 50% of the produce used to get wasted. Now that situation is changing with warehousing facilities, etc. And bigger companies are getting into warehousing. Again, here also, these two aspects, the way things need to change, it is not happening at the pace at which it should happen. And that results in agriculture having lower contribution, as you said, to our GDP.
Right. Moving on to the next decision, the approval of the PM Vidya Lakshmi scheme, which is to provide financial support to meritorious students Actually, the aim being so that financial constraints do not prevent any young person from India from pursuing quality higher education. Now, before we move into the scheme, just would request your inputs to see that, you know, somewhere we know that for a long time, one of the industry complaints has been that there is a mismatch in what is taught and what is expected for a person while he or she is doing a job. This mismatch is now being addressed more and more with industry actually becoming involved in academia and academic curriculum development.
The best part in Indian education today is that if you look at the pace at which different educational institutions are changing their curriculum, bringing in the real-time changes which makes those who are taking that education, who are taking those degrees, employable immediately in the market. But this is happening in institutions which are of technical nature or which are of premium nature. It's happening in all the universities. It's hard to say, but it's happening. At what pace it is happening? There may be different paces in different universities, but as far as private universities are concerned and your top-ranked universities in the country, they are concerned, the changes are happening at a very, very rapid pace. And new education policy has brought in the models where the curriculums could be designed in a manner which are very, very flexible. A maths honors student today can do AI course, can do a course in commerce, can do course in accounting, can do course in an arts arena. Everywhere, and that could be part of his or her degree process. That makes her more employable in today's world and in today's industry. But this process again has to be attuned in a direction where the students also know that they are taking those courses which are making them employable and not just doing a BSc or not just doing a BCom. But that part is happening very, very fast in India, Dhaval.
So you feel that this approval is now going to make sure that young people from different strata get access to good quality education because financial support is coming in the form of this PM Vidya Lakshmi scheme?
Absolutely. And this has come at the right time. What is happening is that the digital revolution in India is empowering every single student in every nook and corner of this country with information, which was earlier available only to few people who were studying in different premium universities. But today, through lectures which are available digitally everywhere, who want to acquire higher quality premium education, they can understand and they can be made capable to join those courses. But at the lower strata of the society, what happens is that even though the student is meritorious, has got good marks, they cannot go for those courses because they are not capable financially or their families are not capable financially. And the biggest problem in India in that regard for these students are still is that they can't get financial loans, bank loans, education loans in an easy way or in a way which will help and support this kind of ecosystem which has got developed where people are becoming at all strata of the society capable of getting higher educations which will make them immediately employable or which will make them highly skilled. In the absence of financial assistance, what is happening is that most of these meritorious guys, they are taking up lowly jobs or unskilled jobs. So this scheme is going to help in that process.
So actually going to help us reap the so-called demographic dividend that we are looking at.
Absolutely.
Right? Santosh Tiwari, thank you so much for coming on to our program. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Union Cabinet Decisions. The participants were Santosh Tiwari, Economic Analyst, and Gaurav Dhawan Lal, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.